Our text verse this morning is verse 16 that we read a moment ago, where the Bible says, "And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things." Now, the things that they saw is referred to in verse 15 there. Nehemiah had come back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. He was the king's cupbearer, got permission from the king, Artaxerxes, to come back and rebuild the walls. And he came back and divided the families that were living into Jerusalem into work units, and they each took a section of the wall and began to rebuild it. And in 52 days, less than 2 months, and these were Jews, so I don't think they worked on the Sabbath. And so, but in 52 days, they had the walls rebuilt. And so when everybody, their enemies who didn't want the walls rebuilt, and everybody else that were about them saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. God used man to do it, but when the wall was up, and when everybody that lived around Jerusalem saw what was accomplished in such a short period of time, they said, "This was the work of God. This was the work of God." My desire, and I hope it's yours, that when people look at our church and they see what happens in this place, they will say the same thing. Yes, God used man to do it, but what was accomplished here was really the work of God. Now, again, before I go on, I'm not talking about the buildings. I had somebody tell me this week, they go to a church in Flushing, and they're acquainted with our church, and they said about our latest addition, they said, "Well, what'd you have to do, build something twice as big as our building?" I said, "No, we had to build something that would hold us. I mean, we fill it up. When we all get together and have a fellowship, we fill it up." But I'm not talking about the buildings. I mean, I think the buildings are important. And I'm so pleased that we have so many people that are concerned about how they look, so concerned that they'll come and devote some of their life, some of their time to keep it clean and keep it looking sharp and take care of it. And so it's important, and we ought to keep this place looking at its best, not for us, but for our God, because it reflects on Him. But I'm not talking about that part of our the ministry here. I'm talking about the way that people come and are saved and are baptized and get married, and their marriages get strengthened, their homes are nurtured, their children are raised. And my desire is when people look at our church and see those things happening, that they will say, "This is not a work of man. Man could not do this. Man could not accomplish this. Man could not achieve these ends." But when they look at what happens in this place, they will say, "God's been at work in that place. This is a work of God." I will remind you this morning that this is His church. He said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, "I will build my church." And again, Peter had just answered the question. Jesus had asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter voiced the answer for all the disciples. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Right, Peter, you've answered by faith." And on that kind of faith, on the kind of faith that sees Jesus as the Son of God, I will build my church. The building, this building is not our church. Our church is you and I. Our church is the people that make it up. We have been purchased by God. We are not our own. That's why Jesus said, "I will build my church." We have been purchased by the blood of Christ. So this is His work. And whatever is accomplished here is His work. And He needs to get all of the glory. We need to point to Him on every occasion. When somebody compliments us about what's happening here, we need to say, "It's not us. It's not us. It's God that's doing a work in this place." Now, since it is the work of God, I have three things I want to say about it. Number one, since it is His work, we need to follow His plan. His work, His plan. When Nehemiah came back to rebuild the walls, he didn't redig all the foundations. The Bible says he cleaned off the foundation that was already there, and he rebuilt the wall on the foundation that was already in the ground. As we do God's work in this place, we need to follow the foundation that he laid of old. Again, there's probably more parts to it, but I'm going to mention three this morning. So you're actually getting a 7-point sermon this morning because I got 3 points on number one, subpoints, 3 subpoints on number two. I figure if you went to all this trouble to drive through the snow and the ice, you ought to get your money's worth this morning. So you're getting a 7-point sermon. So there's three things that I want to mention that's part of the foundation that God has laid. And the first one is this. This book is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. This book not only contains some of the Word of God, this book not only contains the thoughts of God, but every word in this book comes from God Himself. This book was written by God. He inspired men of old. He told them the words to write. He told them every jot and tittle and every punctuation mark to put into it. And this is His word. And everything that goes on in this place should be built on the Word of God. People have tried to change it. They take away from it and they add to it. God pronounces a curse on them. Anybody that takes away from this book, anybody that adds to it, is inviting the curse of God on their life. We don't need a new Bible. We don't need the new revisions that come out, it seems like, every month. We need to stick to the old King James Bible. I believe God preserved it in the translation. I believe that it's the one He wants us to have for today in our church. And we need to stick to it. And every question that we answer, every time we need a piece of advice, every time we seek the direction of God, we don't need to go to the world. We don't need to go to some expert. You don't even need to come to your pastor. Because if you come to me, this is where I'm going. And if I can't give you an answer based on this book, I'm going to say, I don't know. Let's pray about it. Let's study together. God must have an answer. We just haven't figured it out yet. But we don't need to go to the world. We don't need to go to experts. You don't even know you need to go to your pastor. You need to go to God, who's given us the answer in this book. So one of the foundations that everything that's done in this place should be built upon is the Word of God. The second part of that foundation is that salvation comes only by Jesus Christ. We are all sinners. There's a penalty for our sin, and that penalty is to be separated from God. And there's nothing that we can do to pay that penalty our own except to be separated from God while we live on this earth and then go to hell and be separated from Him forever. Left to our own devices, left to ourselves, that's what each of us deserve. We're all sinners. And again, as I said yesterday in Wendell's funeral service, I don't make that statement based on personal observation. I don't make that statement based on anything I know about you and your life. I base that statement based on what's in this book. This book says we are all sinners. We have all fallen short of God's glory. And because we're sinners, there's a penalty that we pay. And that penalty is to be separated from God. But the gospel, the good news of the Bible, the gospel is that God loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, not when we straightened up our act, not when we turned over a new leaf, not when we took a step toward Him, but while we were yet sinners at enmity with God, He sent His Son to die in our place. Oh, what love. Michael sang about the cross. Oh, what love God exhibited on the cross. And everything we do in this place, everything, is built on the foundation that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by Him. Amen. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then number three, the foundation that we need to follow. Not only is the Bible the Word of God, not only is Jesus the only way to salvation, but number three, His plan is for us to take this gospel and go out to the world and preach it to every creature. Our commission, our orders from Jesus as he left this earth. He gave it to his disciples that were gathered around him on the hillside that day as he ascended up into heaven. But he gave us that same commission. He gave us those same orders that we're to take the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're to go out into this world and we're to find sinners and we're to tell them about our Savior. We're to tell them what he did for us, how he saved us. We're to tell them how when we were in our sin, he loved us enough to send Jesus to die for us and that he died for them as well. That's the foundation that we need to build on. It's a foundation that we started this church on. It's a foundation that will never change. It's a foundation that has stood the test of time and will stand the test of time. And it's a foundation that this church and every church can build on until Jesus comes. Amen. The Bible's the Word of God. Jesus is the only way to salvation. And his plan is for us to take the gospel to every creature. So, we need, since it's God's work, we need to build it on God's foundation. Number two, main point number two, since it's God's work, we need to get rid of all the garbage that gets in the way. You go back and you read in Nehemiah chapter 4, there's much rubbish, the Bible says, so that we were not able to build the way. Before Nehemiah could build the wall, he had to employ the workers to get rid of all the rubbish. Get rid of all the garbage. Get rid of all the things that were laying on the foundation, laying around the foundation, so they'd have room to build on the foundation, so they'd have room to build about to salvation. So he called in the donkeys and the workers and said, we got to pick all this stuff up. Again, this was rubbish from when the wall was destroyed, when the Babylonians came to Jerusalem and tore down the walls. This was rubbish that remained from them. And so Nehemiah said, we got to get it out of the way. We got to move it out. We got to get rid of it so that we can get to the foundation and build on the foundation that's there. Anything that gets in the way of God to accomplish his work is rubbish. And it needs to be cast away. It needs to be picked up and thrown away. And again, it may not be stuff so much. I mean, physical stuff, physical rubbish. And we ought to get rid of rubbish. I mean, we ought not let rubbish congregate around the church. I mean, if we're not using something, we ought to get rid of it. All right? And I'm not going to say anything else about that. But anyhow, we need to get rid of it. But it's not so much stuff in our case as it is attitudes. And again, I'm going to mention three. We need to gather up all the rubbish that comes under the category of not loving one another. How can we accomplish the work of God? How can we build on the foundation that he's given us, his word, his gospel, his commission to share that gospel? How can we build on that foundation if we don't follow the command that he's given us to love one another? The Bible says that the test of our salvation is, one of the tests of our salvation is that we love one another. The Bible says one of the tests of our discipleship is that we love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye love one another. And so, if there's an attitude in anybody's heart this morning that says, there's somebody that's in our church that I don't love, I pray that you would take it out to the garbage. Monday morning is trash day where Patty and I live. So Sunday night, when we go home, one of the things we do is we gather up all the garbage and I take it out to the curb. I take it out on Sunday night because I want to make sure that I don't oversleep and I missed the garbage truck the next morning. So I put it out on Sunday night. And so if there's somebody here this morning and you would honestly say, "Preacher, there's somebody in our church that I don't love," take it out to the garbage. Amen. Put it out with the rubbish. You say, you just don't know how hard it is to love that person. How hard was it for Jesus to love you? How hard was it for Jesus to love me? I can do all things, the Bible says, through Christ which strengtheneth me. And it's not so much that you can't, but that you won't love that person. Take it out to the garbage. The second attitude I will mention is not being kind to one another. In Ephesians 4:32, the Bible says, "Be ye kind one to another." When Brother Clint prays, he always ends his prayer, "Lord, one more thing, help us to be kind to somebody today." I think that's a good prayer. We ought to make it a point to be kind to somebody today, and somebody tomorrow, and somebody the next day, and somebody the next day after that. Kindness ought to be a mark that we exhibit in our life, day after day after day. And then the third one is what we need to take out to the garbage is when we can't forgive somebody. When we hold bitterness in our heart. Again, from the book of Ephesians, "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." That's our motivation. That's our example. God, because of what Christ did for us on Calvary, has forgiven us. And because he has forgiven us, we have the power within us to forgive other people. Doesn't matter what they've done. Doesn't matter if they've treated us harshly. Doesn't matter if they've said an unkind word about us. We need to have the Spirit of Christ and forgive one another. And just like Nehemiah couldn't rebuild the wall until he got all the rubbish and all the garbage from off the foundation and from around the foundation, so they had room to bring in the material that they needed, the lumber and the blocks that they needed to rebuild the wall, until we get rid of the rubbish that's in our hearts, that's in our lives, until we get rid of that rubbish, we will not be able to build upon the foundation that God has given us. We will not be able to accomplish the things that God wants to accomplish through us. And again, it's not us, it's him working through us. But again, until we get rid of that rubbish, until we get rid of that garbage, those things in our life that should not be there as his children, he will never be able to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in this place. And people will never be able to look at what goes on here and say, "It's a work of God." Amen. Look, if we're going to have a church, let's let God work in it. If we're not going to let him work in it, let's just close it down and go home. This is his place. He wants to work here. We need to make ourselves workable. Amen. We need to make ourselves clean so that he can use us to accomplish his work. And then number three, and this is just one big point instead of three separate points, we need to have a mind to work. A mind to work. "So built we the wall." This is from Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." When the people started this task, they dedicated themselves to getting it done. I mean, they dedicated themselves to getting it done. This was not a part-time endeavor with them. They said, we're going to work at this until we finish it. We're going to work at this until we get it done. Too many times, we're distracted from the work of God. We're distracted by things of the world. We're distracted by Satan. We're distracted by our old natures. We can look at the book of Nehemiah, and we can see where the enemies of God's people tried to distract them. They first of all tried to, they said, "Hey, we want to help you. Let us make an alliance with you. We want to come in and help you build the walls." And Nehemiah said, "No, we're not going to let you in." Because we know you don't have the same objective that we've got. You don't want the wall to be built. You just want to come in and be in our midst so that you can distract us from doing what God wants us to do. Then they threatened them. They said, "Hey," they said, "we're going to attack, and you don't know when we're going to come. You don't know when we're going to come, but we're going to come, and we're going to kill everybody that's working on the wall." They made fun of them. They said, "Hey, even if a fox come up and rub against this wall, it'll be broken down. It won't last. But we're going to come after you." And then they sent word to Nehemiah, said, "Hey, come down and talk to us. We just want to talk to you. We just want to meet somewhere." And I like it. They wanted to meet in a place called Ono. O-N-O. Ono. And you know what Nehemiah said? Ono. Ono. I'm not meeting at Ono. I'm not meeting. He said, "I am doing God's work. I don't have time to come down. I don't have time to get distracted." That's what we need to tell the world. That's what we need to tell Satan. That's what we need to tell our old nature. They will do everything that they can to get us distracted from doing the work of God. And we need to realize that everything that goes on around here, every time we have Sunday school, every time we have church in the morning, every time we have church at night, every time we have church on Wednesday night, every time we have a gathering like Senior Saints or some other, the men's breakfast or the ladies' Bible class, or every one of those times, we have a God that can do some of his work. And so every one of those occasions are important. Every one of those occasions we ought to give our best. Every one of those occasions we ought to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to work. Every one of those occasions we ought to come with the expectation that God's going to do something. He's going to save somebody. He's going to strengthen somebody. He's going to teach a little child a truth that will be important for them to live the rest of their life. Every time we come to this place, that's what God is able to do. And we ought not to be distracted. Amen. We ought to have a mind to work. Just like Nehemiah says, every single one of us is involved in God's work. And it's a great work. Don't quit. Don't get discouraged. Stay at it. And the people outside of these walls that look in and hear about what goes on in this place will say, "This is not a work of men. This is a work of God." Amen. Because only God could do it. Amen. Only He could do it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this example that we have from your word. And I pray that we would anew this morning realize that this is your work. Thank you for using us. Thank you for joining us together to make up this church. But Father, we confess this morning that it's your work. Your work. We need to build it on the foundation that you've laid. We need to get rid of all the rubbish that would cause us to not work. And Father, we need to have the mind, the mindset that says, what I'm doing in this place is important because it's God's work. Father, I pray this morning, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, that Holy Spirit, you would help them understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by Him. And I pray this morning you'd help them see their sin. Help them see the penalty for that sin, to be separated from you. And help them to see that Jesus is the only way. They can't overcome the gap that exists because of sin any other way than by coming to Christ. And so I pray you'd help them come in just a minute as we extend the invitation. Help them to come. We'll take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father, most of us are saved this morning. We're on our way to heaven because we trusted Christ. Help us to be busy about the work you've left us to do. Use us. Use us in mighty ways to build the kingdom of God. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.